thank you, Brother Ziegler. It is a real joy to be with you tonight in this revival meeting and to be here at Wiseball for the first time. I kind of have a little adventure in my bones, and I like to get out and find new people and go new places. And so I was really looking forward to the opportunity to come and be with you here at Wiseball. I traveled down by myself, and as I was traveling, I started liking more and more what I was seeing. Country. You look at this fellow tonight and you say, well, he looks pretty polished, but sometimes I still have to pinch myself and say, do I really feel comfortable in a suit and a tie? I grew up a dairy farmer's kid in Ohio, and I can remember going home after Sunday when Mom had convinced me to put a tie on for church Sunday morning. I couldn't wait to get home and take that thing off and get free. And never would have believed that I'd wear one as much as I do now and be dressed up as much as I am. But here we are. As I turned on to 50 and headed this way, I almost called my wife and said, I'm feeling even more at home. I seen some dairy cows. And I almost stopped long enough to get a little whiff of that fresh country air. You can take the boy away from the farm, but you really can't take the farm out of him. And I have looked forward to this meeting. Real joy to be with the Zieglers. And I could tell you a lot of stories on your pastor, and he's not yet made the proper settlement yet to keep me quiet. So I can have a lot of fun this week. But we are good friends, have been down through the years, and I told someone in the last few days, and mentioning the fact that we would come, and I was looking forward to coming and spending some time with Brother Ziegler and his family. I said, over the years of ministry now, ministry life, I've watched a lot of fellow preachers fall along the wayside, choose something else to do in life, go another direction, and there's really not too many that I can look to yet and talk to and enjoy the friendship that I have. There are very few in number that I enjoy the friendship as I do with your pastor. And so, looking forward to the fellowship. Enjoy the good band tonight. I tell you what, I love to hear good wind instruments. Way back when, I used to play a trumpet. Now, don't tell my congregation that, because they've never heard me. And some of them know I have a dusty trumpet, and I enjoyed the instruments, the music, and good to be with you good people here, and trusting most of all for God to meet with us. The first night of a revival meeting is often an introduction, and yet I have some scripture that I want to share with you and some thoughts and a challenge. I want to share with you the burden of my heart. Isaiah chapter 61, very, very common passage of Scripture to no doubt many of you. I'm sorry, Isaiah 64. I'll be referring to some other passages here in Isaiah. But Isaiah 64, express to you my burden as I've been praying for this meeting over the last few weeks. I do live a very busy life. We enjoy the four children that God has given to my wife and I. They keep us busy. Pastor a rather active church with a Christian school, the bus outreach ministry, teen outreach. Brother Ziegler told you a few of the things that I'm involved in. And in my spare time, I am a sub bus driver for our local school corporation. And yet, in all of that, I have found time to pray for this meeting, and I'm trusting God to meet with us. And I know you're praying too, and that encourages my heart. Could we stand together in the honor of the reading of God's holy word? Isaiah 64, the prayer and the passion of the prophet as he begins to cry out to God. And I trust it'll be the prayer of our hearts as we enter into this revival effort. Verse number 1 reads, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at his presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Let's bow our heads and let's seek God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great number of people that have assembled together on a Monday night. And there's a lot more we could be doing, but we're here tonight to meet with you. We're here to know thy presence. We're here to open our hearts to you. And we're here to be challenged by your word to draw closer to you. And Lord, we thank you for your promises in your word. Where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there shall I be in the midst. And we know you're here already, and we praise you for that. Lord, I'm just a farm boy. I don't know how to preach. So I'm your servant tonight. Pour through me and give words of comfort and words of courage and words of challenge. And may thy will be done in Jesus' name. And amen. The prayer of Isaiah is a prayer that is common, and sometimes I'm afraid it's too common. We can become so acclimated to reading and rereading and hearing and rehearing and preaching, even as pastors, and re-preaching to God's Word, that we can lose the true meaning, and the impact can be less than what God would want it to be. Prayer of Isaiah. This prayer is for a visible divine intervention until the world trembles at the awesomeness of the divine presence of God. There is a prayer that is made here that God would somehow reveal himself one more time to his people. No doubt the prophet had enough conversation and with God and with his fellow men to understand that they had a wonderful heritage. And tonight, as holiness people, we have a wonderful heritage, and I thank God for it. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my family and our background so you'd have a little better understanding of where I've been and who I am. My parents were not holiness people. My mom and dad met at a local county fair. They were showing cattle. Both grew up in dairy farmers' homes, and my mother's side of the family had the old Guernsey cows. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those brown cows, small in stature. My dad was raised around the Jerseys and the Holsteins. Mom and dad met, and God began to work even when they didn't know that he was working. And he allowed them to be brought together, and finally their home was established. But you need to understand that my dad was a Methodist. He was brought up in a little country Methodist church, Rum Creek Methodist Church there in close to DeGraff, Ohio. And mom was a dyed-in-the-wool Lutheran. And you see right quick that they were people who were on two different sides of the world when it come to religion. But God understood that, and he knew that. And the great thought is that God was beginning to work again, even when they did not know that he was working. My grandmother, the Lutheran grandmother, began to pester my parents and say, "You need to get those boys in church." My oldest brother is just a year and 2 weeks older than I am. Mom and Dad weren't going to church anywhere because they couldn't agree on where they would go. Dad didn't like the Lutherans and Mom didn't like the Methodists, and so there was nowhere to go to church. But that grandmother kept saying, "You need to get those boys in Sunday school." That would have been my older brother and myself at that time. I don't know how. I went back and talked to Dad and Mom recently, and I need to get it written down to have the exact story. I don't know how they met the pastor or how they arrived at a church, but it was a Bible-believing holiness church that was dying, but God knew there was enough life there to get them started on their way to heaven. Praise God. Tell you a little bit more about my dad's conversion, maybe later on in the week, but God was dealing with my parents even when there was no visible sign. God was dealing and He was speaking to them. It was through a radio ministry of a man who's of a different persuasion than holiness. But God used the truth that was being preached, and God has promised that His Word would not return void. And here's my daddy driving down the road in a milk truck, and God speaks to his heart, and he prayers the prayer of confession with the preacher on the radio. And God did a radical work in my daddy's heart, and he was a born-again believer. Praise the Lord. That was the beginning of our family headed toward a heritage of holiness. And I'm grateful for that heritage tonight. It was at the age of 3 that I found myself at an altar in a revival meeting, just like somewhat like this revival meeting tonight. It was another meeting of a church, a local church, and sometimes we underrate the efforts of a meeting. But men and women, we need to be reminded tonight that it's often in meetings like this that God does a work that will last for an eternity and impact a generation in ways that we may never know. That little local congregation had no idea that that little burr-headed farm kid that was kneeling in an altar would get a call to preach and someday lift up the gospel banner and preach holiness and love people and make a difference in someone's world in a revival meeting just like this one tonight. Thank God for revival meetings. God was dealing with my heart. I don't understand. I can't explain how God can deal with a 3-year-old, but I know that He does. I know that He did. It wasn't long, too many months or even a year or two after that, that we moved to a new farm. It was just a few miles down the road on Highway 67 there in Ohio, but it was far enough away from the church they had been attending. They were invited to another church, maybe a revival service, and got acquainted with that church, and it was an old-fashioned holiness church. Praise God. Little old country schoolhouse that had been converted into a church, and there was a thriving group of believers there, and it was there in that little church that I heard some of the great ministers of yesteryear, like R.G. Flexen and old brother Stafford and some of the greats that came among us. I remember hearing the Stettler Trio there when they came from God's Bible School back in the 70s. It was there that I heard Millard Downing and responded to the call to holiness and prayed as a young man for God to sanctify the heart and praise the Lord for a heritage of holiness. But I can also tell you, men and women, there, it was there that I began to sense the presence of God. And I come to you tonight with a burning passion upon my heart. I believe one of the greatest needs in our churches tonight is that we would have one more rending of the heavens and we would have a visible sense of the Holy Ghost moving upon our hearts and drawing us unto Himself. The prayer is for God to rend the heavens. It's my prayer for this revival meeting. I know you're not going to be impressed much by this preacher. I know you're not going to hear much oratory. But men and women, I want you to know, if God comes and moves, it's the passion of my heart and the desire of my soul. And if He decides to set this preacher aside and let His Holy Spirit do the ministering, and He sets me aside, I'm perfectly fine with that. I can tell you, I grew up in some of those meetings where it seemed like God was so close and the people were bearing a burden for souls. I remember hearing my pastor, Pastor Glenn Wickard, weep under a burden. It's the first memories I have of a weeping pastor, and I thank God for it. But it seems in our churches we're losing that. It seems that we're losing that heritage of a burden for souls. I know your scenario here is much different than where I pastor. And sometimes I ask myself, why am I in a city? Why am I living in a city and pastoring in a city when the Lord knows I'd love to be out in the middle of cornfields and soybeans? But He has me where He wants me, and I'm very satisfied. That's where He has us. And I'll have where He wants us. And I'll tell you, men and women, there are men and women coming among us that need God. It was a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, an older man got saved. Actually, the Sunday I was away. Imagine that. That'll work on the pastor's pride a little bit, won't it? Call in someone else and take a Sunday off. And a man comes in, an old crusty sinner, 50 years old, running from God for years. His little girl's come in on our bus ministry for the last 2 to 3 years, just as sweet as everything, and got her daddy to come to church. And he came on a Sunday morning. There wasn't anything dynamic, but God was dealing with Charlie's heart. And Charlie just stepped out, made his way to an altar prayer, prayed a real simple prayer, didn't stay long, but he stood up and he said, I've been wanting to get back to God for a long time. It was about 6 weeks after that. Charlie's become an evangelist, a missionary. And it was a Sunday morning again, and he had about five right there in the pew with him, about the third pew back on this side of the church. I preached a basic message. It wasn't anything big. And I opened the altar with no music, no pressure. And I watched as Charlie stepped out of the pew, and he waved all of them that were with him, just like this. And every one of them came to that altar and bowed before God. I'll tell you, that'll give you a passion for souls and a burden for souls when you start seeing some new ones born into the kingdom. But what we need is a rending of the heavens, an opening of the heavens. And this prayer of Isaiah is the prayer of my heart as we start into this meeting. Secondly, I'd like to notice that we need to have a removing of the hindrances. Hindrances to revival. Oh, that God would rend the heavens. When the heavens are opened, we have showers of blessing, don't we? Showers of blessing. That was the opening song tonight. Showers of blessings. I grew up singing out of the praise and worship hymnal, so I knew when the number was mentioned, what song we were singing. What a wonderful song to start the revival meeting out with. There shall be showers of blessing. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that? Not there may be showers of blessing. There could be showers of blessing. But there shall be. Do you believe God wants to open the heavens for us? Do you believe that He wants to refill our hearts, renew our spirits, rekindle our love for Him? We're living in a cold world, but we're living in a cold world spiritually. Coolness is everywhere. Dryness is everywhere. The Scripture says that it will be that way when the Lord returns. But the good news is, you and I don't have to be that way. Oh, there shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of God. I brought you a few promises tonight. Over in Isaiah chapter 43, He says, I will pour water on him or her that is thirsty. Again, He didn't say, I may or I could, but He said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. The question is tonight, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Spiritually speaking, is there a desire within your soul? Or are we going to go through a series of services and have 8 messages and just go away and say, wow, that was a good time together? Or are we going to go away saying, thank God the heavens were opened and some hindrances were removed out of my heart and out of my life? I'm not going to stand up here and preach on a lot of things, men and women, but I'm going to tell you, if your passion for anything else is exceeding your passion for God, we need a revival. We need a moving of God that'll begin to soften our hearts and tender our souls to His Word, and we'll receive His Word instead of reject it. Remove the hindrances. I don't go to a revival as an evangelist to see the country and shop the antique shops. I just don't. But I've met a few evangelists like that. I remember one a few years ago. He made sure he took his pickup truck to every revival meeting that he thought he could go and shop all the garage sales and the antique shops. Hey, that's all right. If he can get to heaven doing that and he can still have a revival meeting, and he usually did, thank God for it. But I just can't do that. Now, I do plan to get out in the woods a little bit and tromp around. I can talk to God there. I have in the past, and I believe I can do it again this week. How many of you have tried that a time or two? Surely you have down here in the hills. Remove the hindrances. You know, as pastor, I have found out over the years, no matter how hard you plan and you try to make sure everything's pushed back for revival, something will come up. Something will come up. Remove the hindrances. How about the barriers to the blessing of God? In verse number 2, I find the Scripture saying that God wants to reveal Himself. And the prayer of Isaiah is for God to reveal Himself. The prayer says, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. How many of you believe tonight we're living in a culture and a generation that needs to know there is a God? If there was ever a generation that needed to know that God's people had power with the Holy One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's the generation that you and I are living in. In the political scene, in society, men and women by and large don't really care about God or what His Word really calls us to live by. God says, I want to be revealed. Isaiah says, Lord, reveal thyself to make thy name known to thy adversaries. And then secondly, he says, to reveal thy name that the nations may know. Think of how blessed we have been in America. Have we not been a light unto the nations? Has God not blessed this nation in great measure, far beyond many of the nations of the world? When I talk to missionaries who go to China, and they tell me about how sometimes that nation is so far back in its civilization, so undeveloped. Still, the horses and the carts. When I went to Honduras last year, I was amazed at both worlds in one scenario. There's people driving Tahoes, nice Tahoes, in San Pedro Sula, and there's those who are there with their little ponies and their little donkeys and their carts and their old wagons. And think of how we in this nation have advanced under the blessing of God and sent the light all around the world. But it seems as if the light is fading. Would you agree? Who would have ever dreamed? Some of you tonight have been here long enough in this world to see the great dramatic change that has occurred and the tolerance that is going widespread across our nation to the awful sins of this age. Who would have ever dreamed that the churches of this land would be facing the issues? I didn't dream 20 years ago that when I would enter into the ministry that I would face some of the legal issues that we are facing in this day and the challenges. And it's because we need once again to see that there's a God who wants His name to be exalted among the nations. You see, there was a purpose in this prayer. It wasn't so that the local church could brag we've had the best revival in town. wasn't the purpose. It's so that God's name could be exalted. God could be revealed. And I want to tell you, folks, tonight, you've got enough family members here with different generations that if God would move this week, there could be missionaries sent out once again and pastors and ministers of in Christian service around the world, and because of a revival meeting here this very week and God coming in His presence and moving our hearts, there could be those who would answer a call and take the light and exalt the name of Jesus Christ around the world. We need His moving. We need His visible presence. I'd like to tell you, and probably will down through the week, a number of illustrations, but I feel very privileged to have witnessed a number of good revivals and moves of God in my young life. My parents, as new believers, were trying to do everything that they could to just line up and do whatever God showed them to do. And I want to tell you, they were in a compromising church when they got saved. But God began to deal with them, began to show them light to live by. A few years later, when I was in the fourth grade, my parents felt like they needed to get us in a Christian school, and that was just their conviction. I'm not saying it's everyone's conviction, but it was their conviction. It got us under the influence of the Calvinistic crowd, and it started to have negative influences upon us as children. I love to play sports. I enjoyed it a whole lot more 25 years ago than I do now. Anybody else in that boat? I've joined the A&P crowd, the aches and pains crowd. Anybody else with that crowd? I like to get out there and have a good time. And there was athletic events that were beginning to call our attention away, and there were some issues. God began to speak to my parents about the need to get us in a holiness Christian school. And so they just followed the call of God. They were just eager and earnest to do whatever God called them to do. They drove us a long ways the first year. If I used the number, you'd probably fall off your pew. You wouldn't believe it. But I'll tell you anyhow. They drove us 50 miles one way that year to get us in the holiness Christian school in Wyandotte Christian School near Marion, Ohio. It was there, again, that I sensed the presence of God in an indoor camp, and I think it was January or February of 1980. Brother Marshall Smart, anybody ever heard that name? Brother Marshall Smart was our camp evangelist, and first time I had ever heard him, and I thought, wow, if there's anybody that can keep a kid's attention, there's one that can. But God settled down and moved, and that meeting was extended. And as a young man, once again, I was convinced that this was the way that God would have us to live. The Spirit of God is what convinced me. It wasn't the sincerity of the believers. It wasn't the people who were dedicated. It wasn't so much because of their faithfulness. All of those things are good, and they should be a part of who we are. But it was because of the holy presence of God that so moved in our midst. I can tell you, for 3 years in attendance to that wonderful Christian school that my parents first enrolled us in under the Calvinistic teaching, I could not tell you one single time in 3 years that I ever sensed the Spirit of God in that place. And so when we moved on and I began to be under that holiness influence again, I was so convinced this was the way of God, the way that God would want us to live. If you read in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 18, there's a verse that really caught my attention in considering this message again for tonight. It says, "The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while." Speaking of the blessing of God. And he said, "Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary." The old enemy's made some inroads, hadn't he? It grieves my heart. It grieves my heart. You have a lot of wonderful families here tonight. Many children, young people. Every age group represented here. And I know you're not living in some utopia down here. The devil hates you and hates your families as much as he does ours. that it grieves my heart when I see the enemy trod upon our young people, drive them away, take them down a long, dark road. We should have a burden tonight for revival for those that are here. You say, preacher, you don't know my family. You don't know our heritage. And you don't know how God's moving. I rejoice when God moves and thank God for it. But there's a devil. There's a devil. My oldest will be 20 this year, soon to complete her second year at God's Bible school. I guess I pray more for my children now than I ever have in my life. Because I see they're making their own decisions and I see the enemy is bidding high. He wants to destroy them. I've said to people, I've said, you can take everything away from me that I may call mine. You can take my home. You can take my cars. You can take all those things that I count dear. But if you take my children, that's all I have is my family to take with me to heaven. And men and women, I'm convinced without a real move of God, we're going to lose. The enemy's going to trot down upon our children. The technology of this day is bidding for their attention. I'm not against technology. Don't misunderstand me. I have a computer and I have to work online and I have a lot of things that some people may not understand. But I understand there's more dangers, it seems, today at our fingertips to draw the hearts of our people away. And probably any generation, we're living in a dangerous, dangerous hour. But the good news is, God wants to rend the heavens. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that? God wants to rend the heavens. He is. Around the world, He is. And He says He's no God. He's not a God of partiality. He's no respecter of persons. But He wants to somehow give us a reviving in our hearts that will renew our passion for Him. And if we can make this our prayer as we start this very meeting tonight, oh God, would You rend the heavens for my family? Start in my home. Start with my children, oh God. Help us one more time to rebuild the family altar and have prayer together again as a family. That's a wonderful privilege. I can tell you we've won some battles there around that family altar that Satan was bidding high for. I can tell you sometimes beside the bedside of some of my strongest willed children, there has been a melting time when we've allowed God to come. We've sought Him and we've begged Him to move and the heart was turned in ways that mom and dad could never turn it. Oh, that Thou wouldst rend the heavens. Reveal Thyself. I don't want to be too long tonight. But sometimes I ask myself, if we don't see a real move of God, what kind of stories will our children have to say about our time of service? Will they ever be able to tell the stories of God moving and brother or sister getting so blessed that they forgot where they were or who was around them and they just glorified the Lord in true liberty? Will they ever have stories like I have to tell of weeping prophets like that pastor of mine who lay prostrate across the platform of our little country church and wept and wept and wept under a burden for His people? Our family moved in 1980. Dad sold the farm, the 80-acre farm. Kept some of the other land that he had acquired. He was becoming quite prosperous as a dairy farmer after some very difficult years where he almost lost everything that he had. But things were going well, and yet he was so convinced he needed to get somewhere where he could get his children in a Christian school that was a holiness school and again, not everybody can do that. Understand that we've lived in places where it wasn't a possibility, and God's helped us with our children, and I understand that. But it was Mom and Dad's conviction, and so they followed the voice of God. We moved to Washington Courthouse, Ohio. There was a church and a school. And that was a church that was ripe and ready for revival. It's the revival church that I have in my memory as a heritage, as a boy growing up in the Holiness Church. It was the revival church. Time after time after time, God would settle in and people would move and God would give calls to ministry. That's where I got my call to preach. Brother Juddy Payton, how many of you recognize that name? Sure you do. He came as our evangelist. I don't remember any message titles. I just don't. You probably won't remember much that I give. Sometimes I forget what I preach. Next week, I'm trying to remember. What was it? I'll go back to my diary to find out. I remember he always walked in with that big satchel, kind of like a doctor's bag. Anybody remember that? Big old black thing. I thought, wow, what in the world? I'm sitting here as a little kid. What in the world has this guy got in here? But he gave a call and he gave a message for young people that would surrender their hearts. God was dealing with this little fella, 12 years old. Most backward, timid boy you could ever meet, I promise. Never would have dreamed that I would be standing in front of a crowd like this trying to preach. But it was that night God said, you. And so I went. Stood up there with a number of other young people who testified to that congregation. God called me. God called me. And when it came my turn, I said, God called me to preach. When I announced that, my parents quickly rolled back the pages of time to where a 3-year-old boy was kneeling in the middle of an altar. My mother went to one end of that altar. My dad went to the other end that night. They were new Christians. They didn't know they were supposed to pray with their boy. But as they were each on separate ends of that altar, God spoke to them individually. I want you to give up your son. You're going to have to give him up. They fully expected there would be something that would happen to me that would take my life. What they didn't understand that day, they finally understood the night that I announced that God had called me to preach, that they would have to be willing for their son to live a distance and maybe not ever spend a lot of time with them in the days ahead. And from that moment at 12 years old until this, I have continued to follow the call of God in a revival meeting. Wouldn't you like to see God do something like that for us in this meeting? Some young people who would answer the call. It's going to take God. I can't do it. Pastor Ziegler can't do it. There's no lay leader in this congregation who can announce or give a call like that. It's going to take God, the Holy Spirit, settling down and convincing a heart and speaking to a soul. Oh, that God would rend the heavens. I've got to close. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. And floods. Floods. Do you get the word picture? He didn't say, I'm going to sprinkle. I'm going to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. Again, it's an absolute. They shall be filled. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will. There's a promise. He will draw nigh to you. You can put your name right there in that Y-O-U. To you, he is no respecter of persons. He wants to draw nigh to you. So there shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Verse 2 was, there shall be showers of blessings. Precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys. I get that word picture. We're in the hills and the valleys. The sound of abundance of rain. Then there's the cry in verse 3. There shall be showers of blessings. Send them upon us, O Lord. Is that your cry tonight? Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. And then the last verse says, oh, that today they might fall. Now, as to God, we're confessing. Now, as on Jesus we call. He's here. He's here. The heavens are open. The downturn in the economy has not even begun to surprise our Lord. His coffers are still full. He has riches untold. He's longing to move. How about you? Is your heart open? Are you hungry and thirsting? Are you ready for His visitation? Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens. Somebody need to stand.